What's going on, everybody? It's episode 322, another week with the On Deck TV podcast. We are back. We have a special guest in the building, Mr. Ryan Haslam. You'll find out a lot about him. Check all the shows on the network out on realvillemedia.com.
Yes, sir, realvillemedia.com. All the shows on the network are going to consist of Full Sport Press Podcast. We got J-Hove. We got Big Jeff. We got Hal Weezy. We got FSP Cameraman. This recent week, they were going over the NCAA upcoming season. Good luck with getting excited about that since there's no Zion. Much congratulations to you fellas for covering that. Also, brand new Fresh for Dummies podcast. Is Rock Aware back? J-Hove and Animal Brown let you know what they think about that. Make sure you go to realvillemedia.com. Also, make sure you go to patreon.com. That's the sponsor for this week's episode. Check out all the new content that we're dropping on Patreon for you people. And the YouTube page. Go to YouTube/OnDeckTV. Check out everything that we're doing on that with all the shows across the network. Again, realvillemedia.com, the contact us page is where you can drop us information about you and what you got going on. Remember, we're looking for interns and we'll be looking at emails for them. For now, 322 dropping right now.
Going on, everybody, back another week. What's going on, Luke?
What it do, what the business is, another week in the books. It's the On Deck TV podcast. What's up, sir?
What's going on? I cannot complain. How are you?
I cannot complain either. Animal Brown can, as you guys can hear, he is not with us again. Yeah. He's getting surgery on his hairline. Y'all pray for that, man. We hope he gets out of that alive, man. So much respect out there. He's coming back like Samuel Jackson from Unbreakable. That's how he rocking out here. No, real spit, though. Y'all send the shouts out to AB, man. Keep him in your prayers and your good wishes. We hope you get back and be here for the next episode. He had to go down to Nashville and handle some personal stuff. But we're here. We're going to knock it out. We got a special guest in the building. What's up, sir? How are you?
What's happening? What's
Introduce going yourself.
On? Ryan Haslam with A3C Festival and Conference, among other things, but that's, you know,
we'll get into that later.
Fresh off the press, so
yeah, we appreciate that. We appreciate you stopping through, Ryan. Ryan is gonna jump in with the quick hits with us as we usually do, but before we get to that, to make sure what you have up this weekend, sir.
This weekend it was a slow motion for me. This weekend I was just doing a lot of other work. Upset I missed the best homecoming in the world. Shout out to Tennessee State University. I know it went down, but I'll be there next year. So how about yourself?
I was slow motion enjoying the fall weather. It's finally gotten here to us. Got to cut the AC off for a brief moment in the crib. But I was low-key chilling. Got to watch my boys kick your boys' asses thoroughly. Yeah. So shout out to Cowboy Nation out there. And all my people rocking with the NFL is getting good now. And NBA will be back this week, too.
The Eagles look terrible last night.
Y'all look real bad, bro.
Look trash. Somebody needs to be fired.
Y'all up out of there. But that was pretty much what I had up this weekend, man. You know, I stay slow motion. I seen a new show on HBO starting called The Watchmen.
Yes.
Kind of interesting.
Regina King. Seeing
that. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm hearing great things about it. I'm definitely going to check it out.
Also hearing great things.
Yeah. I finally got into Succession.
What do you think?
It's fantastic. Fantastic show.
But see, now here's my thing. I went from Succession to, and people going to hate me for this because they're going to sound like I'm knocking our black shit, but I went from Succession to Godfather of Harlem. And it's just okay. Because I've been hearing a lot of good. You heard about Godfather Harlem?
I haven't heard you.
Yeah, I like it.
It's not bad, but it's just like, yeah, it's like,
I don't know.
It's like the pace is off. Like, shit,
I mean,
going
it's in the beginning, though. It's still in the beginning.
I'm three episodes in, though.
Yeah, I'm caught up.
It's going too quick. Like, I hate movies where they'll do something and then they'll tell you what they did. Like, roast a movie. I just seen it. You ain't got to tell me, oh, I killed some. Okay, bro, we just seen it. But that's neither here nor there. We're here to talk about hip-hop this week, man. So we'll get right into it. Let's start with Karen Myers. Yes. Karen Myers is Mac Miller's mother, and she is taken to social media by storm. She's using her platform to let the fans know not to support the late rapper's up-and-coming unauthorized documentary. Neither should they. I know you're laughing how I said that. But the writer of the upcoming project was not released in this statement. Is it a good or bad move for Mac Miller's mom to go out and start the protest to get this stopped?
I mean, I think it's a good move. Anytime you don't have the well wishes of the estate, and you put out something unauthorized and the family has a conflict with it, then it's a problem. So I don't feel like – I feel like this is in her best interest and her family's best interest, especially when it comes to privacy. So, yeah, I'm with her on this one all the way.
You are with her. Yeah, okay. Completely. So I have to disagree here, and here's why. Not just because I'm on the other side of you and this is a debate show, but more so because people are going to tell Mac Miller's story regardless, right? So there should be some source, and they're reaching out to his friends, they're reaching out to people that knew him, people that work with him, and they're trying to get the information from him because the guy obviously is going to do the story anyway. So you want accurate information coming to the guy telling the story, so you can at least hope that he would portray him in the best light. Not portray him in a sense of a drug addict or he died from this overdose and was chasing his high, but also have the good side and the bad side of obviously he's going to cover, which is why his mother is trying to stop this. Right. So I don't think it's a great idea for her to try to stand in front of this and do away with it. More so cooperating with him and being able to put out at least good things in this document. I don't think it'll be the last one. I don't know if it's a documentary or a story.
It's a biography.
Or Mac Miller is I mean, the biography is going to be a book, whatever.
Maybe. Well, it's going to be a book.
It's going to be a book.
Yeah.
Well, if I were his mother, I would rather my side of the story be in that book too. Mm-hmm. Right? You guys, what do you think?
I kind of agree with Marcus a bit. Like, I kind of feel like the family always has, you know, whatever they have input, and I think you have to respect and at least hear out the input from the family.
True.
You know what I mean,
for sure.
And it's not even like it's like a second cousin or something. It's like his mother.
Yeah.
So I think like, and then also it's a lot. It's a touchy, you know, situation with, you know, people that have been kind of put out in the last couple of weeks and months that they, you know, things that, oh, I'm sorry, things that, you know, they kind of had maybe had something to do with the murder.
Right. Mm.
So it's kind of touchy, you know, like it's not like he, you know, died of possible, like,
yeah,
you know, natural causes.
Overdose, right?
Yeah, so you just want to be respectful and,
yeah,
you know,
I mean,
conscious of that.
Right, and I just think any time, I mean, I think this is her right. This is her right to say,
yeah.
You know, so I don't think it's foul at all. We don't know who the writer is. She did not release that. But she has it's within her right to say, no, this is not something we approve.
Absolutely.
You know? And if she feels any inkling that it might be something negative, I don't blame her for doing that at all.
Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't necessarily call it blame, and you're absolutely right. It's within her rights, but it's also within his rights as someone who documents things like this to be able to take stories that impacted him and put them out there. I do think that he did do justice.
Ethical principle as a writer, too.
Exactly. And I think that he addressed that by reaching out. Like, he could. Like, you don't have to have anybody's permission to write a biography.
No, you don't.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you can just go unauthorized and just spew bullshit if you want.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Based on the First Amendment, right? So he did at least try to put it on the table and be like, hey, some bad stuff is going to be in here. And I would hope that his presentation would be like, these things are going to be addressed, and I would love for you guys, like I said earlier, to address the good stuff. So we do have both sides. I don't know if it came off that way. Yeah. I'm just speaking off how it said.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't know he reached out to her. I didn't see that in the story.
Yeah, he did reach out.
He reached out,
and that was the whole thing. And he was reaching out to his friends and his other family as well. And she was telling them not to respond and telling his fans not to support.
Like on the episode of Succession.
Right. The whole thing. The whole Succession plot line, basically.
Yeah, so, that's funny.
So basically, that's in the air. We don't know if it's going to happen or not, if she's going to be successful in that. But much, like I said, condolences to Mac Miller. And the guys who sold him the drugs that he overdosed on have been arrested.
Yep.
Because they were synthetic. It was laced with fentanyl. Fentanyl, as we know, is way more potent than heroin, and it caused him to overdose. So guys have been locked
up. R.I.P. Mac Miller.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep. So just recently, hot off the press, is Charlamagne Tha God, who is pumping up his brand new YouTube page. I think it's C Tha God, and he let YouTube or whatever. You're welcome for the free promotion. But he had Gucci Mane on there. Gucci Mane would not or does not go on the Breakfast Club anymore, and it came a little bit out in the interview as to why. He called Angela Yee a bitch, called Envy a bitch-ass nigga, said he would smack him.
Now, so disrespectful.
My question to you guys is this. Gucci, for a long time, has been accredited being a clone. When he got out of jail, he was docile, not doing a lot of the beef that we've known Gucci for. Now, based off this statement, do you guys think we got Boogeyman Gucci back in the fold? Who wants it?
Well, I don't think that person ever left Gucci. I mean, he just lost weight.
He's just playing a role.
And, yeah, he just lost weight. He was in jail. He's been mostly respectful. But I feel like, for whatever reason, but this dates back to 2016. So I don't understand why it's coming up now.
Right.
With the interview? Or?
Yeah, the reason he's upset.
When he was at, when he looked at Angela Yee, the meme, the famous meme, that's what this came from.
Well, that started it. And then they did a People's Court on The Breakfast Club with Angela Yee and DJ Envy. And they brought it up again.
Right.
And Angela Yee was saying her side of the story without Gucci present.
And in the beginning, do you remember what happened, what Gucci said? Tell the fans.
Something about Angela texting
him. She was trying to get with him.
Yeah. Pretty much saying that he insinuated that Angela Yee came on to him.
Right. I remember that. That was like 2012. Right.
Yeah. And then she said, she tried to act surprised when he looked at her, got the meme.
Yeah. And it got deeper. The People's Court, because they brought up Yo Gotti. They insinuated Yo Gotti slept with his wife.
Yeah.
Wait, that.
Slept with Gucci Mane's wife. That's what they were saying on the People's Court. Yeah.
Well, I mean,
that's why Gucci's
an internet rumor, though.
Yeah, I'm just saying, but
she messed with him. It's in the song, like it's.
That's what they said. Yeah, okay. But I'm saying, I guess Gucci was saying that this is, you know, two things, and my wife was involved. He brought up his wife because he said in the Charlamagne interview, he said, "I tried to address it with DJ Envy, just like he tried to address the people who were talking about his wife. He was referencing Desus and Mero. He was like, I tried to address it, but he don't want to see me."
Wow.
Yeah. See, that's some bitch ass nigga shit. Now, I ain't calling Envy a bitch ass nigga.
But we don't know that to be. I mean, come on. We don't know that to be true.
You said on the People's Court he said that about Yo Gotti.
People's Court.
Play like that about my wife.
They were just replaying the interview that Yo Gotti did.
Okay. But
yeah,
trying to be funny, right?
Yeah, I get it.
And that's my wife, right? You know what I'm saying? So just like you were mad at Desus and Mero for something just as minute.
Right.
Don't come at me like, I can do this. Yeah, have the same energy when I come up and I'm like, what's up, bro? And I think that Envy, like, he did respond to what Gucci said, and he was like, he took to Instagram, and he was like, well, I ain't no bitch-ass nigga. I ain't never ran from nobody. All the stuff that he usually go through is about being from Queens and a DJ. Congratulations, Envy. I just think that he likes to have both sides of the fence.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I'll let you tackle it, too, since I read it. Go ahead.
He likes to have both sides of it?
Well, play both sides of the fence, whatever it may be. And I'll get to it after I let Ryan speak on it as well.
Yeah, I mean, the part that basically, like, kind of envies can kind of dish it and can't.
Yeah, can't take it. Like, I ain't, like, storming out of interview. He said that Gucci was not banned from Breakfast
Club. Yeah, they both said it, and he's not banned. Angela said the same thing.
The thing is, Angela Yee claims that she's not comfortable with him doing it. And then he says, oh, well, if my co-host is not comfortable, then I don't want to go and say I'll do it.
Yeah.
So he's banned.
I mean,
it just ain't the word band that they use.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, I could imagine, like, you know, that the conversation they had, again, I don't remember when that was, like 2012,
right.
13. It was just a very uncomfortable energy, the whole interview.
Yeah, it was.
With him and Angela Yee. So it's not surprising. Like, I don't blame any of them for not wanting to kind of do it again.
Yeah.
Like, it was this young, it's kind of like Birdman going up there again.
Yeah,
I agree with that. But it is messy on all fronts.
Yeah,
to be completely honest, and the messiest front, I believe, is from Charlamagne, though. Like, you go to work with these people every day. Like, damn, I mean.
Charlamagne don't give a fuck.
Charlamagne, it's good content, but I mean, like.
He tried to help NBA out a little bit. He tried to say it wasn't like that.
Charlamagne, in my opinion, kind of has like a Joker's pass. Mm, you know,
yeah.
He can basically say anything.
Yeah.
He can't get
and
away
nobody
with that.
Really.
Oh, it's just Charlamagne.
Yeah. Like, even, you know, even Birdman, like, you know, he kind of got at Charlamagne, but at the end of the day, like, he realizes that's Charlamagne's role, like, in the culture. So it's.
That's a fact.
You know?
Yeah.
Charlamagne speaks
to stir
his mind.
It up right there.
Gucci was too different. I mean, that was way beyond. calling Angela Yee a bitch is way too disrespectful, man.
Right. I mean, no.
He went way too far.
That was too
much. You were here when we were talking about Envy, and y'all said that same thing, though. Like, when people start talking about your significant other, and this is the person that you signed up to take care of, like, you can't say what energy I'm going to respond to you with, right? If Envy can storm out of an interview,
I can say I'm upset.
Y'all disrespecting my wife, I can call you a bitch, right?
I can say I'm upset with a woman without calling her a bitch.
You can, but y'all disrespecting my wife, I can also call you a bitch.
There's no excuse for that. And then he made it worse because he called her the girl.
Come on, man.
How old are you, man? It's not 1955.
He heard.
That was very fucked up.
Yeah. He seemed like he heard about this, but I mean, I say, if they once they open Pandora's box when they start talking about this, my wife.
I mean, it was a very entertaining interview.
No, it was entertaining.
It was a classic 100%. Breakfast Club interview.
Yeah,
it was.
And this 100%. One with Charlamagne is entertaining.
It's really good, too.
I'm not going to lie. It's entertaining. To say the least. It's working for Charlamagne.
Exactly.
So before we move on, and this really is kind of hip hop, but kind of not, with Charlamagne developing out his platform on See the God on the YouTube, do you think that there's trouble in paradise for him to even stir up stuff like this with his co-host? You don't think that there's trouble in paradise as far as the Breakfast Club? But you think,
no, I think he already,
it's just him doing his thing. Yeah, you don't think that he aspires to be bigger than that?
He does, but that don't mean it's trouble, though.
Gotcha. So how long you think he's sitting there?
I mean, I don't know what the contract is, but I don't think he's trying to leave just because of that. He just,
you know. I couldn't imagine him leaving because it's such of like a legendary show at this point.
Yeah,
and it's
a culture setting.
Yeah, it's still like the number one show to my understanding. So I don't anything he does outside of Breakfast Club, it doesn't seem like it's a conflict.
It won't be big as Breakfast Club. It won't be a conflict because you still got.
I mean, even like, you know, he got certain looks outside of Breakfast Club. Like, I think, in my personal opinion, like the biggest thing he's probably did was go to Kanye's estate and interview Kanye.
That was probably one of the bigger looks.
And that's so much different than
the
you
books
know.
And Brilliant Idiots too. Like, I think the books put him on a bigger level than that show almost.
He's big.
And he is milking his damn mental health shit. Jesus Christ. We get it. Everybody suffers from depression. We get it.
That nigga love anxiety, boy. Like, that's anxiety. Like, bro, relax. Now, nigga,
growing up in Monk's Corner, South Carolina, I had so much anxiety. I would, too, if I grew up in that motherfucking place.
That's funny. Moving on. That was M Extra giving Monk's Corner that smoke. Monk's Corner fans out there. All right, man. WAC 100. He back at it again every now and then. Well, not even every now and then. Seems like a lot lately we've been talking about WAC and his thoughts on pop culture, hip-hop to be exact. WAC came out and said that Nipsey Hussle, recently passed, R.I.P., was not a real nigga.
Allegedly.
Allegedly what? The statements? These statements are alleged. Yeah. People have died behind this already, but these are alleged statements. But WAC came out and he said that Nipsey Hussle wasn't a real nigga. If he was, he could have prevented his own death by not letting Shitty Mac, what's the nigga name?
Shitty Cuz,
go to the car and get the strap and handling it as he seen fit before that happened. My question to you, at this point in time, my question to you is, going through the whole statement of what WAC said by saying that Shitty Cuz was the real street nigga, Nipsey could have prevented his death, what did you find the most egregious to be?
Pick it apart. Speaking on Nipsey in general in that manner, when you talk negatively about someone who was revered by so many people, who was such a positive individual, and you talk negatively and they're deceased, I mean, it's no point of it. Like, what is the point? Like, why would you even fix your mouth to utter these words? That doesn't make you more of a real nigga. Who are you to say what somebody is? You don't know what Nipsey told to do. You know, if he tried to handle it peacefully or what? He's a bitch because he didn't do this. What kind? This is the dumbest. This is so egregious. I don't even know.
All right, I agree.
Why I got to stop this, man? He's just becoming a laughing stock. And this is no laughing matter.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, in my opinion, when people have passed on, you just got to, any negative comments, man, just, you know, hold it to yourself amongst, you know, close people, but definitely don't put it out, you know, in any form of any media. I just think it's like, you know, there isn't no point of doing that. Right. There's no point of it.
Now, to be fair, this was the audio has not been leaked.
No,
this is it was on one of those Shade Room. I have to give a lady credit that posted it, but she did say that she wouldn't release the audio due to the blowback that may happen in L.A. and the violence that may come with it. So she did say that she was avoiding. It probably will hit the streets one day, but it is
according to
uproar everywhere, all over the internet. People have heard it allegedly. I say this. I think WAC knows exactly what he is doing when he does stuff like this. And when he stirs up the internets and he says Nipsey Hussle's this, or he talks about Tekashi, he knows at this point in time, being in the game, the game's his manager, and also being in the rap game, like they've been milking controversy, I would say, for at least the last 3 to 4 years with Blueface, the thing with his mom, all of that. WAC 100 knows what happens when you put this out in the internets and in the response.
But he didn't put it out, though.
Well, I mean, he knows what even saying this is. He knows what talking to someone and then it getting leaked and then me having to address
it.
He
knows what it does.
He knows what it does. And even though he didn't put it out, he has responded on his IG.
Yeah, he was
responding. He has responded to what it says. So I say all of that to say, if anybody's playing fake gangster here, it's him.
Yeah, of course.
And the reason being because he knows nothing is really going to happen to him for coming out and saying this. Like Nipsey Hussle, homeboys who very much well may be real gangsters and would pull up on WAC and do him a favor for saying this, they can't do that because you WAC. You in the spotlight. So if I take the Instagram and I'm responding to shit like I'm leaving a trail, and he been in the game long enough as far as the gangbanger to know this shit. Mm. So he the one that's being the studio gangster right here as far as doing this shit, and I think he does it for clicks. In the next couple of days, you'll probably have a Blueface song, and that's his artist. Game album is coming out. It's his last album. Game been in the news here recently for the whole lawsuit that he has going on. WAC, I feel like, is a calculated individual. We've seen from most of the stuff that he's did in hip-hop, and this is another one of those things where he's insinuating one thing, but he's actually shining light on himself as not being quote-unquote real as he say he is.
Well, yeah, I think you're giving him a little bit too much credit. I don't think this was calculated on his part. I know I can say he's messy. I wouldn't say he's calculated by any means. Not when it comes to so much of a disrespectful comment. That's what I want. Now, he's calculated about certain things when it comes to marketing, but being disrespectful to talk about Nipsey, I don't think that would play into my marketing ploy. So I wouldn't give him that. I just he's an idiot. and certain things you just shouldn't touch. And he should know better. He's grown. Like it's no you have gray in your beard. It's no reason for someone else to tell you what you shouldn't do.
Well, the reason that I say calculated is if you're WAC, you play out the consequences for this, right? Right, like I would assume any grown man is gonna play out the consequences if you do so. I think that he knows. Like the worst thing that could happen to me is motherfuckers to come back and cuss me out on the internet and say, "Oh, you being disrespectful to Nipsey."
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm not gonna die behind this. Like he comes from real consequences regardless of what he's doing now. He does have a back. A past of being about that gangster life. So I feel like if he's faced things to where his life was on the line before, this ain't that serious to him. Yeah. I don't care about how y'all feel about Nipsey Hussle. Yeah. That's what WAC's saying. All I care about is these clicks.
Well, I get
and
that.
I've proven that from Game, Blueface, and even myself.
Yeah, but I don't think this particular portion was calculated at all. I mean, especially when it comes from a secret recording and somebody leaking it. I don't think, you know, I don't.
You're saying that he knew that it was
did it get out?
To
yeah,
get
like
out.
This ain't no secret recordings. Like, bro, it's 2019, fam. Like, you're WAC. Like, assume that shit is being recorded.
Right.
Like, well, you're not, with the exception of it being maybe one of his homeboys who may have been looking for a check and that surprising him, then I would give them that benefit of the doubt. But if it wasn't that, if it was just you talking to somebody, they recording it. And they're going to leak it. And this is going to come out. And you're going to have to address it. And I think that he played all of those facts out in his head and was like, what's the worst that's going to happen to me?
I would be curious to hear the audio.
No way.
I would be curious to hear the audio just to see how the conversation went and how it was framed, and you can kind of get an idea if it was kind of a natural conversation, opposed to like a thing
somebody putting on. And here's for
why,
clout.
And here's why I say this too. I'm not pulling this out of thin air because you're laughing. You remember the Mike Tyson situation?
Yeah,
these niggas faked the whole fight.
No, I get that.
Fake getting
knocked
out.
That's different, though.
It's the same thing as far as marketing.
Yeah, but I wouldn't fake
it. I'm going to fake a fight with Mike Tyson that I went on his podcast, and he disrespected Tupac. No, I disrespected Tupac. one of the, even more just in the same vein as Nipsey Hussle, and then Mike Tyson got mad and he hit me.
No, but it's
bro, they floated that story.
No, I get that, but this is too fresh of a wound. This is too close of right now. Like, it's no way that he said, "Let's put this out and see what happens." There's no way. I'm not. It's no way.
I don't think he's even whacking because
there's problems happening right now because of this.
Yeah.
So, were you saying that he's not gonna
removed
get
from that though?
No. I don't.
In the streets, yeah.
But that's what I'm saying. He wasn't knowingly doing this, knowing the consequences of all these problems.
From other people
that he knows.
I don't think so.
You talking just from L.A.?
Yeah, just period. It's been like, it's documented things have happened already because
that's
of this.
That's true.
So I don't, like, why, if he did, that was selfish. And again, that would make him more of an idiot.
You know what I'm saying? Now you're talking the right language. Yeah. I think that's what he is. And he, why would I care?
Yeah. That's so crazy. I mean, and the credit goes to Gossip of the City.
Gossip of the City,
who obtained the audio.
Shout out to whoever. All right, moving on. Lastly, before we get to this music break, announce everybody's favorite right now. Yay, Kanye West. Yay. October 25th, we're supposed to get, what is it called? Jesus is King?
That's correct.
Jesus is Lord?
Jesus
is
King.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah. Right. Fantastic. All right, so your thought process in this release day, will we finally get it this time? And what do you think the genre will be? Mostly gospel, like we've been leaning to? Give me your thoughts on this upcoming Ye album, since we haven't talked about it enough.
I think, right. I mean, I hope you guys are ready for gospel Ye. This is what this is. And I think it is finally coming out. And I just wish it would hurry up and come out and people can stop talking about it.
You tired of Kanye West? You tired of Kanye
West? I'm tired of this story.
Gotcha.
I think Kanye will make good music, and it's documented that I like gospel music, but I don't know if I'm trying to hear gospel music from Kanye West. So I'm not really looking forward to this album. I'm looking forward to see if it's strictly gospel and if it has any secular music at all, any rap at all. I'm looking forward to seeing if that's the case. But if it's strictly just gospel, yay, I mean, I'm not like, yay, let's get excited. No pun intended.
Right.
But
right.
Yeah. I'm not like super excited to hear gospel music Kanye West. Just like I wasn't excited for Sunday Service. Some of it's jamming, but I'm not going to be just like, oh, yes, let me put this and ride around to this the whole time.
I think the earlier Sunday Service was really good.
Yeah.
Then I feel like it just started. I just got tired of it.
Yeah, it was doing too much.
Yeah, but the first, like the first, like the Coachella one, that was the last one I enjoyed. And then
the peephole performance. Right?
Yep. That was the last one. That was back in April, May. Mm-hmm. April, I think. So, yeah, and then I think he did two more before that. That was super cool. I think, in my opinion, it definitely kind of shifted. It became more and more gospel opposed to like the first two or three. He was doing, he was doing a lot of different stuff. He was doing a lot of, redos over a lot of soul records and R&B stuff. And it was really dope. I do think it's going to be all gospel because if you look at some early interviews from him, he said it over and over, over and over again. His second single was a song about Jesus. I mean, I think it's gonna be all gospel, honestly.
Yeah,
I agree. I don't know if it's about to come out. I don't think that we'll get it on the 25th. I do think that he pushed back again for some odd Kanye West reason.
This time he tweeted it.
When he tweets it,
it usually happens.
That just means it's going down.
But, as far as it being secular or not, yes, I do think that will happen. I just don't think that the release date is going to be the 25th. He's going to milk this story until everyone is tired.
There's no way you can milk this
until
more.
Everyone is tired of it. I don't think that he ain't gay y'all enough yet. We need to go through Halloween, Thanksgiving, maybe Christmas, tease it for New Year's Day, and then finally give a Kanye West album to you. I think that that's what he's going to do. He wants to maximize. He makes the event around his album big, as I've stated here before, and he's probably the best ever in the history of hip-hop at it. I would say from post-Yeezus on, just the marketing and the lead up to what he done on his albums. He's figured that out, and I think that he will continue to stay in this lane and in this pocket and milk it for as much as he can. Because sale's slow right now, and who is he competing with? Like, to be completely honest, like, I don't think that there's anybody in the foreseeable future coming out in the fourth quarter or the first quarter that would take away from what he's doing, depending upon what Aubrey got going on.
Yeah, it depends on what Drake, Cole, or Kendrick have going on.
Yeah.
Yeah, if Kendrick drops something secret, like, out of the blue, then, yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah.
But other than that, like, he can make a tidal wave happen, and I think that he's still conjuring up everything to make that tidal wave happen.
Mm. Yeah, I think it's coming out. I don't think you can milk this any more than you've milked it.
He just got kicked out of Jamaica or some shit, right?
I don't know.
Did y'all see that?
I didn't know he got kicked out. I knew he did something in Kingston last Sunday. I knew he did it.
Well, I may be wrong. Maybe I read that headline in my dreams that he got kicked out. But no, I
kicked out of a country?
Jamaica, yeah, the whole country.
Why do you?
Banned.
I never read that.
Act like Jamaica's China. It ain't that big. Niggas in the
country. No, I'm saying, but why would he get kicked out of Jamaica? That's what I'm saying.
I'm not sure. Like I said, I read it in passing. It may have been one of those fake headlines.
I know they said that they were going to pray over the area that he was performing.
That's what it was.
They were unsure about his what's the word I'm looking for?
Oh, they blocked him from selling merch in Jamaica.
But also they were kind of wary on how authentic
he was being about the whole Jesus and the Christianity thing. So he was like, I'm
a little worried about
pray about that. Yeah, okay, that's it. Yeah, that's exactly right.
So they must not have felt it once he did it.
Yeah. Right, exactly. Let's get these demons up out of here.
Right, they didn't like it.
Yeah.
They didn't like it.
So, no one's
the prices of this merch is hilarious.
Give me some prices.
He has a crew neck jumper with the Jamaican flag for $200.
Stop it.
Of course the Jamaican people. We're not letting you sell this shit over here. Robbing
a T-shirt with a Jamaican seal for $50.
Let me see.
Just a regular T-shirt.
Jesus.
Come on, man.
Kanye, crazy.
Yeah, man.
But look, that's it for
Kanye
the quick hits.
Kanye turning Creflo Dollar out here.
He teaching Creflo how to get down.
Exactly.
MX, what we got for music breaks?
Yes, first music break of the week is a new artist by the name of Wynn. She's a female artist featuring Jid, J-I-D. It's called Ego Check.
Of course it's featuring Jid.
Are back. That was newcomer from Portland. Her name is Wynn, featuring their boy J.I.D. from East Atlanta. It's called Ego Check. What you guys think about that one?
The payola from Dreamville continues. This nigga been playing Dreamville shit, bro, the Dreamville album was
We can
frozen.
See the cap when you see the end of the year playlist. You can see how many times I played Dreamville. Like three.
I don't believe that.
You would rather I play Webby, huh?
Yes. 1,000,000%. If there is new Webby.
What did you think of the song,
If there is new Webby, then let's play it. From Portland, white chick. Did not know that before you told me.
So you liked it before you found out she was white?
We have white fans, and I love
I'm just
that.
Joking.
it was a good song.
Yeah, it's a dope song.
She got her claim to fame. People thought that she was Eminem's daughter.
That was one, not her claim to fame, but that happened. People did think that was
people didn't know her before then.
Yeah.
Claim to fame. It was cool. I like it. J.I.D. did his thing on there.
Oh, he ripped it.
Yeah, I do like it.
And she can rap. She heard her own.
Let me ask you a question. J.I.D. being on Wynn's song,
yep.
Does that cheapen him any?
No. Why?
No,
why
would at it? All. Not to you.
Why would it?
Well, I mean, coming off the success of the Dreamville album, I think that he kind of took a step up.
So because he can't be on people that you don't know songs?
Can't be a win song. Not just people that I don't know. Just win specifically. I'm talking about win. Right now.
You just said you like the song.
Right now, I'm just talking about win. Yeah, and if I'm J. Cole, I'm kind of making a call after this. I'm like, hey, bro, who is, what's how you pronounce
it? A lot of people actually know her, but you just don't.
Cool. Cool story. Now, so Ryan, how you doing, brother?
Good, good, good.
We're happy to have you in here. A3C, fresh ended, right?
Yep, we'll talk it was a little bit about that. Ended on the 13th.
Freshly ended, however. It's the grammar police is in the building, so I got to watch myself. So introduce yourself to the crowd, the on-deckers out there, man. Tell them what you do and, you know.
So I'm Ryan Haslam for A3C. I've been the conference director for the last 5 years. This is my fifth A3C that I've produced and programmed. And
so you over the whole shebang
for the conference portion, not the music portion, but the conference I booked this year. I booked
Just Blaze, is that right?
I've booked just quite a few times. Nice. This year I booked like just under 400 speakers. I think we were about maybe 385 speakers this year.
Sweet. What's the difference in the approach when you are booking for music and when you're booking for someone to come sit on the conference? Like, how is that conversation?
So we have about 600 artists that perform at A3C each year. Mm-hmm. But the way it's set up, because, you know, I always get like 1,000 people hitting me saying, yo, I got this artist, I want to get them at a showcase. So we don't actually book the showcases. That's done by third-party curators. Mm. So let's say, you know, you guys wanted to come and do a showcase.
We would have the On Deck TV showcase.
Yep.
We would find artists to fit our
brand. It would be On Deck Showcase at A3C.
Right.
And
gotcha. Soon come.
Soon come. Exactly.
In the works.
That's literally how it works. So, like, it'd be impossible for us to book, you know, 600 rappers.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. So I guess what I'm... That's a great point. If let's say you reach out to someone who's proficient in both fields, like a T.I., right? Because yep. T.I. was there, right?
Yeah, T.I. spoke this year.
T.I. spoke.
Yeah, he didn't perform.
That's what I was asking. So is it easier to get him to come and say, hey, I'll take this check for being on a panel as opposed to him coming and doing a set for music?
It just depends. Like, some artists in the past have done both. Like, De La Soul spoke and performed the same year. Master P did, you know, it just really, like, it kind of depends. Like, sometimes it can be like, you know, I will write a list of maybe like 50 to 100 people, mm-hmm. That I will want to see at the conference. And then, you know, let's say 10 of them are artists.
Right.
Then once it's narrowed down, and then we say, okay, Pusha T is somebody that would be interesting to hear speak and also perform.
Right.
Right. So it just depends on that. Or it could be the flip side where the music portion of A3C says, hey, we just booked, you know, Birdman, right, for example. And I'd be like, oh, shit, that'd be a dope keynote. You know? Facts. So it just, like, depends. Like, that, you know, we just go back and forth. They'd say, Ryan, we're thinking about these people and to perform, to be headliners. And then I'm like, you know, I'm a little biased and I'm like, oh, okay, well, I like this person because I know that they'd be a good person to actually speak.
Right. That makes sense. You know, so an Atlanta story will start back in 2005. This is how it happens in Atlanta. Y'all come across great opportunities like this, mm-hmm. right? So tell me, you work with Brian Barber, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that was in Bow Wow's Let Me Hold You video.
Mm-hmm.
How did you come across Brian and have the opportunity to work in that video, and also tell me what you did?
That's a really funny story. So that cool. He was actually at A3C this year. I always hook him up, you know, whenever he wants to do something, if I can help him. So he I met my homeboys at Grady High School when I left Westlake. I went to Grady. They were signed to Warner Music Group back in 2004.
Do we know them?
It was a group called Supreme. You might or might not heard of them. They were Supreme. If you go back like 04 to 07, they were like Creative Loafin's favorite new artist type things, like very underground, but
you know, really influential, like in like the whole kind of hipster movements, early Atlanta shit, you know. So they were signed to Warner Brothers Records, and they had a photo shoot at this studio in out in Smyrna. And the studio owner was like looking at me and like, yo, you look cooler than the artist, right? Because, yeah, you know, my cousin Mark and Marcus, you remember how we used to dress with the Lacoste and the fatigue shorts and the Pumas and all this shit? So he was like, yo, you look cool. So he was like, what do you do? Are you an artist? I was like, nah, I wasn't anything. I was a senior in high school.
just get my drip on.
I wasn't anything. But my sister was an inspiring stylist at that time. So I told him I was a stylist. I just said I was a stylist.
First thing that came out your mouth.
Huh? I'm a stylist.
Quick on your feet.
Yeah. Because he liked the way I dressed. Yeah, yeah, so yeah. I said I was a stylist.
Yeah. This will work.
Right. So he was like, oh man, yo, my brother is a director and he's looking to work with some new talent in Atlanta, and he got two new videos that he's coming to Atlanta to shoot in 3 weeks. And he was like, I'm gonna connect you with my brother. So I was like, all right, cool. Bet. Come to find out, his brother's Brian Barber.
Sweet.
And he coming off of
Idlewild.
He coming off of Idlewild, Love Below. Yeah. Like, he coming off Outkast.
Yeah, big, like, big Brian Barber.
He was, at this point, it was Hype Williams, Brian Barber, and Chris Robinson.
Yeah.
Like, those are the three biggest directors in music, you know? So, me and my sister, I was like, all right, Kirsten, we got, you know, we got a meeting with Brian Barber. And she was like, the fuck? Like, what are you talking about? I was like, yo, we got to meet him at this hotel. This time, at this day, get your stylist book. We go, sure, you know, this, let me handle it. So we get there. So he looking at my sister's work, you know what I'm saying? And I was like, he's like, so what you going to do? You still in school?
Yeah, she did. Both of y'all were still in school.
No, my sister is 4 years older than me.
Okay, gotcha.
So she was out of school. She was like maybe 20 or something like that. So, I made it work. And the first video he gave us was Let Me Hold You. And we did the wardrobe for that. And that was a Bow Wow No Marion, the Let Me Hold You.
What Bow Wow have on the Burberry? Was that what he had on?
I think he had on a bandana.
He had on a bandana. I know we had like some like LRG in there, like all the brands that were popping at the time. And then we styled all like the extras, which was about probably like 40 girls, probably like 10 dudes.
You ain't put his head in them braids, did you?
No, okay, we didn't do any of that stuff.
Gotcha.
So,
gotcha.
So we did that video, and you know, that was the most money I've ever gotten paid in my life because I was 17. So,
give us a range. We don't want to be in your pockets, but just give us a range.
I tell you, they gave us $1,000, and this was $1,000. We were kids.
Okay,
so they gave us $1,000. I went out and bought a BlackBerry.
Nick can tell you nothing.
Nah, man, I was 17. I pocketed $500. Like,
let me ask you something. And probably before I listen to this out there, this will help. You say she had to present her looks as a stylist. What does that look like?
So people that are
aspiring to be in that field, like, what does a lookbook look like?
Well, back then it was a physical book. Now I'm sure you pull out an iPad.
Yeah, yeah.
And you just got looks that you've created on that?
Yeah, like from, she had editorials back then. Mm-hmm. Like I said, she was like 21 at the time. So she had been styling for a few years. So she had done some work. So she had some work to show.
Gotcha.
You know?
Now, how many videos did you do?
We did two.
Gotcha.
It was the Bow Wow No Marion video, and then a few days later, he did a video for his artist, and I don't know how I remember this, but his name was Harley. It was for a label Brian Barber had started at that time. He was starting a label, and that was like his franchise artist.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. And then that led to you doing more work in the movie field. You were...
So what happened with that... My sister knew
the casting company who did the movie ATL, and it was Sweet Tea Casting, mm-hmm. I'm almost positive Sweet Tea Casting, and she sent my picture in blindly to the casting director. She didn't know it was a movie or anything.
Yeah.
Coming, she just was like,
"It's a movie called ATL. She and my brother from ATL. Here you go."
She didn't even know that. It wasn't a name or anything. She sent it in and it was like, "Hey, if you have anything, my brother, he just graduated high school. Here he is." Like, whatever. And he came back and was just like, "Hey, it's this movie called Jelly Beans." Mm-hmm. Which is ATL. Mm-hmm. But the original name for it was Jelly Beans.
Yep.
And then he was like, "Hey, he could work to be at the stand-in for the main character." Mm-hmm. So I didn't have to audition or anything.
Because you look like T.I.
I was much skinnier. I was way skinnier. And I looked enough like T.I.
I guess. Yes. Nick, quick glance, you can pull it off. Yeah. Definitely ain't nothing wrong with that. Yeah. I can see that 100%.
After all this, you stayed in the fashion lane for a couple of years, right?
Yeah, after that, so I was on ATL every day that T.I. was there. So I made, you know, that was my first job out of high school. I made some good money. I took that and I moved to New York from there. I met the one of the marketing directors for LRG on the set of ATL, and I told him the same thing. I just told Brian Barber's brother that I was a stylist. But then I had more to sell.
I was just going to say, you had more to sell. At any point in time, did you think about going to school for being a stylist or anything? Or you like, fuck that, I'm in now.
Nope.
Ain't no need.
I just kept telling the same story and it kept working.
Just keep working. Like, we'll keep it
like,
going.
Yeah, so I was like, nah, now I'm a real stylist. I done did 2 Brian Barber videos.
Right, I got the looks now.
Yeah, so I told the marketing director, I was just like, I'm a popping stylist in Atlanta. I just did Bow Wow.
I just did Bow Wow. Y'all late up here.
I'm the king of stylists. So your T.I. preference.
So how did New York treat you?
It was good. It was good. I was there from 2005 to 2014.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's a long time.
Oh, wow,
time.
Yeah.
Yeah, 9 years.
Talk about the difference between that scene and the Atlanta scene. Because the Atlanta scene obviously treated you well.
I mean, so in New York, I worked in streetwear, mm-hmm. and you know, just the apparel industry. And in Atlanta, I've only worked in music. So I can speak on the music scene in New York compared to here. When I first got there, it was still very popping. The New York music scene was still very popping. From 2005... Whoa. To maybe 2011. Mm-hmm. Once ASAP and them got popping, they left and just moved all over the world. But after them, it was really nothing. It was just like a desert.
It was quiet, yeah.
It was a desert. I mean, they still got, you know, offices. It's still like some labels, publishers, and stuff like that. But as far as like music, it's no, ain't no music in New York. Mm. Not coming out of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, everything was coming out of here.
Yeah, it's New York. I mean, it's Atlanta and LA.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. So how was working at LRG?
That was my school, basically.
that was you not going to college.
Gotcha. LRG University.
So is that where you got into marketing and learn about marketing?
Yep.
And they taught you the ones and twos of that. So talk about the switch.
From apparel to
marketing, yeah.
Oh, okay. So I started off as an intern. I was an intern for a year, and then they hired me to be the marketing assistant for the East Coast in 2006. And then I was the assistant for 2 years. Then I became the director. And that was really like, it was working for a clothing brand, but it was also being in the music industry. Mm. Because back then, if you worked at a brand like a LRG or a Sean John or Rocawear, you were in the music industry.
Yeah.
You were just dealing with clothes. Because you were, like, if you look, the time I was there, we shot DJ Drama, Swiss Beats. We shot Kanye. We shot, you know,
everybody you can think of in music at that time. Mm-hmm. We shot Drake.
When you say shot, what do you mean? Like
for campaigns.
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
They were in our ads.
Put together the looks, the LRGs.
Yeah, so we had to be in the mix of the people that right before they popped.
Mm-hmm.
And then we would do legacy acts. So we would do, if it was legacy, it would be a De La Soul or somebody like that. And if it was new, it was Wale, it was Drake. And obviously these are big names now, but in 2008, 2007,
yeah. Fresh on the scene.
Brand new, yeah. Like, I remember I met Drake in 2007.
Yeah.
You know?
Interesting.
So when you met him in 2007, like, anything stand out from when you did meet those people back then? Any stories that stick with you when you see them now? You're like, man, motherfucker.
Nah, they were real, like, it was like they knew. It was him and Oliver, who's, you know, over October's on, like, the clothing part.
Mm-hmm.
And they knew what was about to happen. Like, I feel like they knew what they had.
They knew he was on the cusp. Yeah,
yeah, they knew what they... Because that was right when, what was that mix? What was the mixtape? The one where he was, like, he was in, like, the leaves.
Oh, his first, yeah,
So Far Gone.
So no. Oh, the right first one. You talking about the one right before So Far Gone?
So it was So Far Gone was the one where he rapped on like the Kanye beat and all that.
Yeah.
Shit, and then Trey Songz was all over it.
Success.
Right.
Yeah.
That I think that was So Far Gone. So that had just came out. So he was.
That
Best You Ever Had was already out.
Gotcha. Okay, so he was in his
I thought you were talking about Comeback Season.
No.
You're talking about So Far Gone.
Yeah, So Far Gone. So, like, So Far Gone had just came out. So they was already kind of in the bag. You know what I mean? Like, they knew what was coming.
What's your favorite part about creating a campaign? Like, the whole marketing. Like, what's your favorite when you know this part coming up? You're like, yes.
I would say I was really... At that time, I was really close with the co-founder, Jonas,
mm-hmm.
and the design team. So when they would come, they would do these design trips, like, all over the world. They were based in Orange County, but they would come to New York. Then they would go to Paris. They would go to Japan. They would just literally fuck up the world. And they would just get drunk everywhere, eat the best food, buy the best clothes, and then they'd go back to the room and design.
Yeah. And that was the guy who was Ben Baller's good friend, right?
Yep. So it was cool to see, like, hang out with them in New York and, like, see them, you know, in the creative process all the way from that point to when, like, the samples came to the showroom and then, you know, it shipped out to stores. And then a little before that, you know, we were, like, shooting the campaigns. So just from the design portion all the way to, like, it's out. That was pretty cool.
Okay. Nice. What's your least favorite part?
Of working
just being
back then?
The marketing campaigns and, like, it was always stressful for you. Was it working with the artists? Was it just, what was the always part that you wish you could have got somebody else to do?
I mean, when I was at LRG, it was like I was like an assistant, mm-hmm. and I went to a marketing director, but it was the East Coast marketing director. The West Coast still were in charge of the East Coast for marketing. Like, those were like the VP and brand managers. So I didn't really have the stress of a lot of stuff. I was more of like the facilitator.
Gotcha.
You know?
Okay. And that brings you full circle to where you are now. So how did that help you when you were coming up? How does that help you in your position where you are now?
Man, to be honest, it was so much stuff that happened in between LRG and now. Mm-hmm. I can't really say it was full circle from LRG to now.
Well, just full circle from the beginning to now. Just everything you learn, not just LRG, just everything.
I think LRG taught me how to just deal with people, mm-hmm. like different types of people.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And just being in New York and working at a really popping clothing company.
Mm-hmm.
I it taught me how to tell people. It taught me how to tell people no nicely. Mm. Right.
Yeah,
for real.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, who don't want free clothes from a nice popping clothing company?
Yeah. Right.
But like, a lot of people didn't understand, like, this is actually my job and this is other people's job. Mm-hmm. And our job is not to just give everybody free clothes.
Yeah. It's your job to make sure these clothes are the right people.
Yeah, because no one would have jobs if we were just giving clothes out to everybody. You know?
Yeah.
But yeah, no, there's definitely a lot that happened in between that was kind of transitioned into me being in music.
Gotcha.
But yeah, that was LRG was for sure the foundation, yeah. For sure.
So coming off the success of A3C, what do you see for where you are now and for your future?
Before you get there, 1 second. Young Guru, you work with him, right?
Yep.
6 degrees of separation. That is the reason. His interview with Combat Jack is the reason that we started this podcast. It was the first podcast that I ever heard. Was an interview with Young Guru and Combat Jack. And he was talking about how he worked with Jay-Z and all these different things.
Mm-hmm.
What'd you think about working with Guru?
That was really interesting. And Combat Jack was one of like a really close friend of mine too.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. He was a really close friend.
He showed us
a
lot of love.
Yeah, he was a really nice guy, man. Yeah. Like super genuine.
Dope. Yeah, and one of the best podcasts.
Rest in peace, man.
He's
one of the best pioneers of
pioneers.
Right. For sure.
Podcast.
But Guru was definitely on there very early as far as the Combat Jack show. He was going through recording sessions with Jay and just telling a lot of dope ass stories, and that's what got us into podcasting and made us start this show. Mm-hmm. So like I said, what was your relationship like with him? And
it was really cool.
Cool stories.
Yeah, it was so actually his manager is actually in Atlanta right now. I was with him on Saturday. And he
so we getting that oop for the interview then.
Yeah,
nice. Guru's manager.
Yeah, Guru's manager is here right now. Yeah. His brother lives out here.
Need that.
But yeah, so what happened was my roommate at the time in New York, he had a booking agency called 122, and they repped Lupe Fiasco, Young Guru, and Neil Armstrong. So,
the cyclist?
Wait, what?
No, Neil Armstrong, the DJ.
Oh.
That Neil Armstrong. It's a DJ named Neil Armstrong. It's Filipino.
Damn, you're better than me because I'm thinking about Buzz Armstrong, the astronaut. I'm like, astronaut? What the fuck?
It was an astronaut called Neil Armstrong.
Nah,
yeah.
Okay. It was I mean, who landed on the moon?
Yeah.
You said Buzz.
Same thing. I get my story, my toy story. And my real story is mixed up.
And there was an astronaut named Buzz Armstrong.
That's what I'm thinking. I'm like, damn.
The man who landed on the moon, Neil Armstrong.
Damn, he represented an astronaut? Had to be some fly shit.
Nah.
Go ahead.
I'm so dead.
That's funny.
So he made the transition from a booking agency to a management agency. And then I helped with that transition. Cause I had all the experience with like working with brands and,
right.
and marketing and stuff like that, so it was cool working with Guru in the beginning, from where Guru was just known as a
engineer.
Music engineer, to make it like, you know, him going around talking, you know, to literally every university about sound.
That's crazy, right?
Yeah,
he was known to be like an introvert, and then he just started.
Because people didn't really. They didn't know what he actually sounded like, but he's actually somebody who talks a lot.
Yeah.
He talks a lot.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But he's just like a wealth of information. If you are kind of like on the nerd side of music.
I can imagine.
He's like a human encyclopedia.
Yeah. That's
a fact. Like, yeah. He, nobody knows that sound more than
Young
Guru. That is a fact.
Yeah.
So, now, go ahead. My bad.
Oh, I forgot the question, man. Coming off the success of A3C, what are your hopes to accomplish in the future? What are some of your goals, or how's everything now?
So, we're actually going to start back with A3C the top of November.
Damn, it's a year long process like that.
Oh, for sure.
Yes.
Well, we are available.
It's definitely, it takes a long time. Probably, you know, just a whiteboard and ideas is for 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, 8 months of bookings.
Right.
And then production the last 2 months.
Oh, yeah.
Y'all did y'all changed venue. Did you like that this year as far as the downtown venue? That was a dope setup. I like
it. Yeah, I think it was better because it was just more space. Just more space, man. We outgrew Louder Milk.
It made it more like a convention, in my opinion. It made it more like convention-y, you know. So it was pretty cool.
And for the audience who aren't familiar with A3C Festival and Conference, they have it every year down here in Atlanta, and it connects music, tech, film, and culture. So if whenever you get a chance, come down and check us out.
Before we get to this next music break, man, anything that you want to leave us with, touch on, or that we forgot?
Nah, if I think of something,
Back.
I think you covered all bases.
Yeah, I think so.
M Extra, what's our next music break?
All right, our next music break is a rapper from Atlanta by the name of Grip.
Of course.
This record is called He Is ... I Am. Check it out.
Always there when I'm under pressure. Very similar to the one that sat atop my uncle's dresser. His was chrome, so it glistened. You dressed in all black, so your cover never get blown on the mission. Stealth purposes. The first time I touched your trigger, that shit triggered nervousness. Growing up in my hood, you were the cause of so many funeral services. Another thug killed, the mix of drug deal. It only led to more blood spill. See, I understand your mechanics, so I never take for granted how you managed to do damage. Randomly landed in the hands of a few loose cannons. Back when I was watching Goof Troops and eating Fruit Loops, you sprayed at your target, but destroyed. Ricocheted and struck a kid that used to shoot hoops. And as a kid myself, that was hard to digest. Like, will I die next? Casualties of war, I guess. Sorry, I digress. You protected me from the coma in the early mornings at mom and pop's corner spots. Niggas thought shit was sweet till I let off the warning shots. Had a gold chain and wore a watch. That bit ain't even tell the time no more. But it was shining though. I kept you in my lining. Underneath my seat when I was driving. Under pillows on them nights I found a diamond sliding. Cause shit, I figured you never know if that bitch got a nigga or an ex that got the extra key from when he stayed with her.
And we are back. That is Grip, rapper here from Atlanta. That song was called He Is ... I Am. That was a phenomenal record in my opinion. What did you think?
I like that. I like the beat switch up. He was rapping from the perspective of a gun. Yeah. I guess that's what it was.
Right. Not this particular song. You talking about what song you talking about?
We just listened to it. The switch beats.
The whole thing is about it. The whole album pretty much is kind
of. Oh, the whole album is being a gun. Oh, okay. I see. I didn't realize that. I didn't listen to the whole album. Yeah. I didn't get an Atlanta sound from it, which I think that's pretty dope. Nowadays, a lot of people try to mimic the Atlanta sound. He's from here, and he kind of going away from it, and he's being creative with it. I like it.
Yeah. So. I mean, he was his own. I don't like people who like intentionally try to fall into the sound. You can tell he's clearly his own person.
His own thing.
Yeah. I don't know if that's intentional or unintentional, but he definitely can spit for sure.
Definitely got a new Atlanta sound with him, J.I.D., and Earth Gang kicking the doors now. Yeah. Question of the week. Your man's Ludacris is going to be an artist in residence at nearby Georgia State University. My question to you guys. If you could learn something from any MC rapper in the game right now and they were to teach you a college course, who would it be?
My easy, the layup answer for me would be Jay-Z. Okay. Another one would be Bun B.
Bun B teaches a course right now, right?
Yeah, he does. Mm-hmm. And Killer Mike would be one is also
nice
for me.
I would say Jay-Z. I would say Jay-Z, Coach K.
I like Coach K.
And probably Killer Mike.
I would go with David Banner.
Banner. I knew you were going to say David
Banner. 1,000,000%.
Kind of look like him with his beard going on.
Just tell me my beard looks good. David Banner. Rick Ross. Wow. Yeah, Rick Ross. I like Rick Ross, how he moves financially. And Jay-Z. I would go with the cliche answer with you guys. Jay-Z. So David Banner.
Hey, Ross, I would have never guessed.
Yeah, I wouldn't have guessed.
I like Ross. Ross is, if he can't teach you anything, he can teach you how to be dramatic. I feel like. He can teach you how to tell a motherfucking story, boy. Like,
he tells them well.
1 million. Shit. But yeah, I feel like he got a lot to bring. Tells them well. I started the Hurricanes book, man. He does tell stories well. I feel like he can learn a lot from it, man.
That's so funny, man.
That's a question of the week. So, what you got up for this weekend?
New releases.
New releases? That's what you got up this weekend?
No, we didn't get new releases.
Over your part. I thought since you had the whole show, we was going to skip that part.
No. So we talk about what came out last week first. We had Gucci Mane come out. We had Cash Doll come out.
Waptober. Did you listen to that Cash Doll?
Some of it.
What you think?
She's not for me. Not for me. She's not for me.
That's not very rare.
She's a... She's
Webby.
She's just okay.
She's a female Webby?
No, she's not that bad.
Damn. That bad. Webby doesn't.
I don't like Webby at all, as you know.
Obviously, you haven't heard Savage Life.
Yeah, I heard Charlamagne Tha Gang, Angela Yee.
You have not heard.
I knew you couldn't read when I heard him rap.
You can rap. What have the rest of it?
So Cash Doll's just okay. She's not for me at all. And somebody, she need to. Let me not say
don't
this.
Do it. All right, don't do it. You playing
G-Eazy, my boy Gerald came out with Scary Nights. The album is fire.
I haven't heard all of it yet.
It's only 8 songs, but.
Shannon Sharp, it's that. Cool.
You what?
Shannon Sharp, that. Skip.
You hate on Gerald.
Skip.
You hate on Gerald. Skip. So that's what came out last. I feel like it was something else that came out last week. But on the top of my head, this week, we have Black Moon, One for the Moon, and we also have...
I'm sorry, who?
Kanye West, supposed to come out. Jesus is King.
This one's supposed to be Saturday or Friday? Friday, right?
Friday, yeah.
Let everybody down again.
You anticipating that?
No, I'm good.
Oh, you know, and I can't believe I missed it. Actually, that Black Moon came out on the 18th. That's why it's coming up. That Smoke DZA and that Benny the Butcher came out, too. That is pretty good. Pretty good.
I
like Benny a lot. So Benny's my favorite out of Griselda, and Smoke DZA, he's decent, but the album is fire.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Cool.
And shout out to Melly with her project. She's not a rapper, but she makes a dope R&B-ish rap music. Yeah, Melly's dope.
Same thing as St. John, is that what she does?
Kind of. So, but St. John actually raps, though. Melly doesn't rap.
He does. Gotcha.
She's what, Tory Lanez artist, right?
I don't know. Yeah. Tory Lanez artist?
Yeah, remember him and me got into it over her.
Damn.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because he like swooped her from me. Yeah, she's real talented.
She left the tour.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So shout out to her.
Interesting. Well, on Deckers, we definitely appreciate y'all. Ryan, we appreciate you coming, dropping knowledge on us, giving some game about A3C. As always, man, we appreciate you joining Realville. We want you to check out everything that's going on the network. That includes Patreon. That includes all the rest of the podcast. That also includes the rap chat on Facebook. And that includes all the social media associated with the show. You look like you want to say something.
Yeah, Ryan, tell people where they can find you on social media.
Gotcha.
Ryan underscore Has. That's RYAN underscore HAS.
Yes, sir.
We didn't do that at the beginning of the show for myself. So I am MXTRA3 on all things social media.
No one cares. And we are out.
More than you.
College shop. All
right, we out.
All right.